Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
My next guest is on the line. I'm really excited to chat to him. His name is Khalifa Khalifa. He is an Israeli Druze influencer. I'm not so sure he's going to like that title, but that's what was told to me by my producer. He's host of the Khalifa Shrugged podcast, and he's a fascinating guy, and I'm looking forward to a fascinating conversation. Khalifa, thank you for being with me on Chai FM here in Johannesburg.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
I find the issue of Druze identity absolutely fascinating. I know so little about it. It seems on one hand to be secretive, on the other, you're so well integrated into Israeli society. You seem to live in an interesting place that I can't quite define. So tell me about this Druze identity. Is it Israeli? Is it Arab? Is it Muslim? Is it something else? What is it?
Well, first and foremost, it's Druze identity, and what separates us from the other nationalities or ethnicities here is that we are Arab speaking people, but we are Zionist, and I'm speaking now being Druze Israeli, but there are Druze in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan. Not all of them are Zionist like we do. But the interesting thing that all of them look at us and see that although we are a minority in the Druze overall, like in Syria you have a million Druze, in Lebanon hundreds of thousands, 400,000 Druze, in Israel we only 150,000 Druze. And what is interesting that being a role model of being so proud as Israelis, it fascinates people, because although we are a very small, like we are like 2% of the Israeli population, yes, but we are very famous, far more than our quantitative number, because all the Druze in the region, in the world, if I may say, look at us and see that the only population that are free to practice their being Druze, and they are the wealthiest and enjoying the most of the freedoms, like more than any other Druze in the region. This is why they look at us and see what is the secret behind this connection. And the secret is the Druze and the Jewish bond here in Israel, because although we are Arabs, and people tend to think that, you know, we are part of the larger Arab identity, mm-hmm. We somehow connected our faith and our destiny with the Jewish people and the Jewish state even before the Jewish state was born, back in the 30s. And everybody baffled about this
completely baffled about it, because it makes no sense. There weren't even 700,000 Jews there at the time. I mean, there was it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It does. If you go back to our roots and our history, yes, you'll find out that our prophet is Jethro, and Jethro is the father of Zipporah. So the way we see it, it's the most natural thing in the world. Our connection to the Jewish people goes back thousands of years ago. And, you know, I started really investigating this relationship after October 7, and I found out very interesting stuff. But even when Jewish people lived in large numbers in Damascus, for example, yeah, the neighborhood of the Jewish people was next to the Druze neighborhood, because our rule, we are a very simple people. Let us be, because we have no intention of trying to convert you. We can't. Even if I really wanted to make you Druze, I can't. Nobody can become Druze. The only way to be Druze,
born Druze,
is to be born as one from both of your parents. That's very important. So our rules are very simple. Let us be, and we will respect you and love you as a fellow human being. And that simple thing is not that simple in the Middle East. And that's why everybody is baffled. It's baffled not because our relationship is not natural, but we live in unnatural environment. But I'm happy to say that we are like the avant-garde of giving legitimacy to Israel as being, you know, native people here to the Middle East, and we give like a stamp of legitimacy from the regional people here, and we export it. You have a lot of people in Syria now waving the Israeli flag because Israel was the only state to help them.
Yeah, you see those pictures coming out of Sweda, and you think this is unimaginable. How can this be happening in southern Syria, Southeast Syria, that there are people who are supportive? It just doesn't make sense. And I thought it went against the Druze philosophy of being loyal to whichever state it was that you found yourself in. If you were Lebanese Druze, you were loyal to Lebanon. If you were Syrian Druze, you were loyal to Syria. It seems to be in a state of flux given, well, it seems like al-Shara has caused significant changes in Syria that are causing Druze to have to reflect on that philosophy that they seem to have held to for many, many, many years. Would that be a correct reading of the situation, or is there a different explanation?
Well, I'm going to tell you a secret that prior to the fall of Bashar al-Assad, I started speaking to Druze people from Syria, and they all were dreaming of the annexation of Sweda to Israel, because their logic is very simple. They say that we live in a place that's been everybody been devastated in a bloody civil war for 15 years, and the future is so unclear. And for us, in order to live properly, we look left, we look right, and to whom we want to aspire to the Israeli Druze, because we, the Israeli Druze, although we are like 10th of the population of there, they wouldn't survive or live without our help. So they said, okay, we don't have, as Druze, we don't have any aspiration to become a sovereign country, but we know that there's no role model for how to create a state except Israel as a functional state that gives people like us, the Druze, the freedom to be who they are.
Two questions I have to ask you, and I'm looking at the time, I'm pressurized for time. I'm sorry, I've said this all day today. We're going to have to do a podcast because I need you for an hour, not 10 minutes. But if, in fact, it was true what you were telling me now, why then would it be that so many Druze on the Golan Heights have elected not to take out Israeli citizenship?
That's not because of Israel, that's because of Syria. Because in 73, when we occupied the Golan Heights, their families on the other side of the border stayed there. And if they would wave the Israeli flag, their people will go to jail because, hey, you are betraying the Syrian state and you are calling for Israel to take our Golan Heights. That's the reason. And once Bashar al-Assad fell, you won't find anyone who's waving the Syrian flag. And that just
interesting.
Yeah. That's all news.
Let's also be honest about the fact that Israel is the most right-wing government it's ever had in its history. And nationalism with the Ben-Gvirs and the Smotriches has become quite a thing. They passed some time ago the Chok HaLaom, the nationality law. Did that not make Druze in Israel feel somewhat second-class citizens and marginalized in some way?
No, I think that the problem with the nationality law is that it got mixed with politics. Politics have this tendency, you know, to pollute any decent discourse. So the people here in Israel, the non-Jewish people, you know, the villages, Druze and all those people, they have certain problems in terms of infrastructure, unlike the Jewish places. And that because Arab people all Arab people have this tendency to be less law-abiding citizens, and they don't really want to go by the rules. So it is like a very old problem. It has nothing to do with the nationality law, and I'm afraid that everything was mixed up over there. But it could be solved, and the problem is not the state of Israel. The problem is the lack of leadership on the Jews' part. Wow. That's how I see it.
Wow, that is interesting.
Because I'm gonna give you like a small phrase on that. Sorry for your time, but the thing is, I go and meet Israelis all over the place because, you know, there's no entity as a state. You meet people, mm-hmm. and we are overwhelmed and over flooded with love to the Druze people because of our contribution. The reason that we couldn't translate this love to actual proper achievements, that's on our part. That has nothing to do with Israel.
Gosh, that's interesting. It helps that your food is so good, because your food is
the
pretty
best.
Excellent.
The best. That's the best food in the world. Yeah.
Khalifa, I'm out of time. We're going to leave it there. We're going to chat again. That's for sure. Thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM. I really appreciate your time.